by now. I'm always thinking of songs, but I thought on this one this morning. I don't know how many of you have listened to The Pond before. A few of you. It's a kids program. And there's this song they sing on there that's kind of stuck in my head over the years. It's called You Gotta Work Together. Does anybody know that? So if you don't know it, maybe you can try and sing along with me if I can get it right. You got to work together, work together. If you ever want to get something done, you got to work together, work together. If you want to get the job done, pretty easy. You got to work together, work together. If you ever want to get something done, you got to work together, work together. If you want to get the job done, one more time. You got to work together, work together. If you ever want to get something done, you got to work together, work together. If you want to get the job done. All right, I'm talking about work today, so I thought I got to do that song. So, question for you. What is your work? I'm curious, what do you do for a living? Or maybe if you're graduates from high school, you're thinking, what do I want to do for a living? So, go ahead, shout it out. What do you do? Don't be shy. All right. Did we get everybody? I'm not sure we got everybody, but lots of different things represented here of people that are doing different things. So second question I have is, why do you do it? Why do you do it? All right. Somebody's being honest here this morning. Money. Anything else you think of? Why do you do it? You enjoy it, all right. Anybody else want to volunteer? Any thoughts why you do it? I missed that. All right, because God told me to. Awesome. All kinds of things. Money probably is a big one, to pay the bills, to support our family. Enjoyment. Satisfaction. And that makes me think of another kids' program that I listened to when I grew up. It's called Ranger Bill, about the ranger who went out in the woods. And it's like, the introduction was, let me see if I can do it. Ranger Bill, warrior of the woodland, struggling against extreme odds, traveling dangerous trails, showing rare courage in the face of disaster. This is the job of the guardian of the forest, Ranger Bill, pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering heat, snow, floods, bears, rattlesnakes, mountain lions. Yes, all this in exchange for the satisfaction and pride of a job well done. I don't know how those things stick in our heads. I haven't heard that since I was, less than 10, probably. So, I don't know. The satisfaction and pride of a job well done. I thought of that when we talk about work, why we do what we do. Is that a part of why we do it? Maybe you think of position, advancement, being in a certain position, striving for that position, maybe going up the ladder, so to speak. Maybe it's for us some definition of success. I think it can be, maybe hugely in our society, a definition of success. What we do sometimes becomes who we are, and it's inseparable. Maybe it's for recognition, or to serve, a calling. I like what Trish said, that God told me to. It's a calling that you've been, it's laid on your heart. You've been asked to do this. Maybe the opposite of that would be, it's a necessary evil in my life. I have to do it. I don't really have a choice. I need to do work. And maybe on top of that, how many of you would say right now, today, that you love your job? Hey, we got quite a few of you. All right. Employers, don't look around at your employees, okay? So, but you know, not every day, I think for all of us, not every day do we love our job, do we? It's hard sometimes. Our work is hard. Customers can be a pain. And, you know, probably each of us have maybe been that customer sometime. Sometimes we feel unappreciated in our work, maybe underappreciated. Sometimes our boss seems unreasonable or unfair. And so work sometimes can be tough, too. It's not an easy thing all the time. And this morning, we're going to talk about how to do your job. Now, I don't really know how to do your job. Each one of you are doing different things that you're qualified for that I'm not qualified for. So I don't know how to do the specifics of your job, but we're going to talk about how it is that we go about our work. And the Bible talks very clearly, specifically to that. We're going to look at it in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 22. Paul says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now, in this passage, there is no way that Paul is condoning slavery in speaking to it here. But I find it's interesting that even in this difficult situation that occurred frequently back then, he calls them to really, if you're a slave, to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile, to do your job regardless of your circumstances. In other words, your conduct for what you've been asked to do is not dependent necessarily on how you're being treated. And I believe this really gets to the heart of how to live out a gospel of grace. Now, Paul isn't advocating abusive or unjust situations, but he is giving us some real practical ways to live in humility, to live in meekness, that we've been talking about those qualities that Paul has told us to put on, humility and meekness. And he's given us some real practical ways to put those into practice. And I think our most practical application for us today of this scripture is how we act as employees. And also, if applicable, how we act as employers, if we're employing other people. So the most time I want to spend this morning is, what does the Christian employee look like? And so if you ask that question, I want you to think for yourself, what do you look like as an employee working for someone? And I know there's probably a wide range of situations people are in. When we think of that, maybe you can't even think, well, who is, as a mom taking care of children at home, who is my employer? Well, you're really working for your children in a lot of ways, but I think as we look at what the scripture says here, you'll see some application for all situations that we find ourselves in, whether you're your mom at home with your children or whether you're working somewhere downtown Columbus, or whether you're out in the fields, whichever it might be. How should you do your job? How should you do your job? That's what we're going to look at. So, the first point that we see here is to obey in everything. Obey in everything. Do what your employer asks you to do. Now, that might seem like a really simple thing to point out. But we know that it isn't necessarily a simple thing to do, is it? To do what our employer asks us to do.
Now, there would be a few instances where we shouldn't obviously do what our employer asks us to do. Our first master is God himself. And so we can't do anything that would dishonor God or go against how he would have us to live. He is our master. So we can't be dishonest, even if our boss asks us to be dishonest. We can't do something illegal or immoral. And even in those situations where we would need to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, I think that we need to find a respectful way to say no to our employer in those kinds of situations. But what we're talking about here this morning are all the other situations. Paul says, obey in everything. And that's a lot, okay? It's not necessarily conditional. It's not whether I feel like it. It's not whether I agree with what the boss is doing or I agree with what he's asking me to do. It's not whether it's convenient for me, but it's in everything. In everything that he asks us, we are to obey. One of the words that is translated here says, not with eye service, which I find an interesting word. But not just outward compliance, but an inward obedience. And I think you probably know the difference. We have had those children, or we have been that child, that when asked to obey, maybe obeys on the outside, but we know on the inside that they're being very defiant to what we were asked to do. It's kind of like you ask them to sit down, and they sit down, but they're standing up on the inside, and you know they are. So Paul's making it clear that the obedience he's talking about here is not that kind of obedience, not just compliance, but obedience from the heart. In other words, I am making a decision in my heart to be obedient and respectful in this situation. So not with eye service. No complaining to them or to others. There is always room to negotiate. If you don't agree, if you think there's another way of doing things, absolutely. The workplace should be a place where we can do that. But the bottom line is, if the boss says, I hear you, but I want you to do it this way, you should do it that way. In your heart, you should do it that way. So no talking behind their back to your coworker. I know it's tempting. I've done it before. It makes us all feel better maybe a little bit. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. To just, once again, that would be doing something on the outward side that you have an appearance of obedience, but definitely not obeying inside as you complain to your coworker about what you've been asked to do. I'm not saying that this isn't hard to do. It is hard to do, I believe, especially when we're like, you know, I know a better way to do this. There's a lot of things that we would look at and say, well, this really shouldn't be done this way, or this isn't even fair. I'm not saying that this is an easy position to be in, but I am saying that this is part of what we've been talking about killing the old man, this person of self who wants to rise up and take over, and putting on the new, this person of humility, this person who respects others. So don't give your boss a hard time. I think we need to realize that employment is a gift, really. It's a gift. It's not something that we are owed. It's not a right. It's a privilege, not an expectation. No one is required to hire you. Now, it seems like I run into people, especially sometimes young people, who are maybe getting out, and they just expect, well, of course people should give me a job. No. Nobody has to give you a job. It's not a requirement. You're not owed that. You typically have to earn it. You have to earn your place in the workplace. Somebody has to give you the right to They take a chance by giving you an opportunity to work for them. The world doesn't owe you a job, or even it doesn't owe you good pay or good benefits. You typically have to earn those things. And sometimes we don't always get those things. But if you make an agreement to work for somebody for a certain pay and for certain benefits, then we are called to honor that, to respect that. That's what the agreement that we made with the employer. Paul was talking to slaves here who didn't even have any choice about what they were to do, even who their employer was. We have choices, don't we? So if you don't like your situation, you have the choice today. You can resign and you can move on to something else. But if you want to stay in that position, then you need to be there and you need to do your job and you need to do it well. So the two choices we have in employment, either find another job or do what we've been asked to do in the current job we're in. There were times when I was asked to travel in my previous job, and travel quite a bit, actually. And I debated about that. I decided that I would go back to my boss and ask not to do that. At that time, I had a young family, and I didn't really feel like it would be helpful for me to be gone. Sometimes we can't avoid that, but I decided to ask. I was like, I don't really want to do this. Is this something that I have to do? And they allowed me to not do that. So we can find ways to negotiate, but if they had said, Rob, it's required, you need to travel, I would need to make a choice. Either I need to obey that and travel and have a good attitude about it, or I need to make the tough choice to find something else that I felt would maybe suit my family better. So, I think, too, you probably all know that I'm into space technology and things like that. I didn't have anything to do with the decorations, but I think they're really awesome. But, you know, I would have loved to go into the space technology field. I mean, to work with rockets, and my training would have been very applicable in that field. It would have been a blast, and I still think about it sometimes, and there's a new company that started up recently. They just launched their first rocket, and I was like, and they, you know, I was watching the launch, and I saw on their website they like apply here for a job, and I was like, but you know, those jobs, typically those people are working about 80 hours a week. That's the kind of place environment that is. It is everybody is given it all for the job. And you know, I just couldn't do that. I couldn't do that with the other commitments that I had in my life, the other things that were important to me. I made a decision. I have a commitment to my family. I have a commitment to my church and other things. I can't do that, even though I think it would be great fun. And maybe for a single person for a period of time, that would be good to do for a little while, but I don't know that I could maintain that. Years back, I was offered a big promotion and a huge pay raise to move to Alabama from Columbus. And I thought about it a little bit, but not very long. It's just like Doris and I were committed to the work of the church here, and it just didn't seem like the right thing to do. And so we made a decision to not take that offer and to stay here. So we have choices in employment. And so I get a little tired sometimes when I hear people complaining about their job situation, because I feel like we've been given options. You can do something about that. If it really is a situation that you really don't want to do, that you can't do, then you have an option to find another job. And that might be the choice you need to make. I understand the temptation. I've done my own fair share of complaining about work. It is something that I want to change in my own life. And while you're at your job, be there completely. Don't always be looking for something else. have your foot in one job and always have the next foot in the next place. Be where you're at. Give everything you have where you're at the time. Sometimes we ask each other, you know, how's your job going? And I think I've said this before, you probably have too. It's like, well, it's a paycheck. What does that mean? Is that harmless? Maybe, but maybe not. As we look at how the Lord has asked us to respond in our job situations, that might not just be a simple, harmless statement about our attitude towards our work. Are you an employee who obeys in everything from the heart? The second point here, and it's very related, work heartily. Are you a hearty worker? And what in the world is a hearty worker? Do you work with all your heart? Are you that kind of person that you put everything into your job? Or are you a little lazy? I don't know. But it's definitely a syndrome that happens. I love this verse in Proverbs. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. Think about that. An employer who has a sluggard. They're like vinegar to the teeth. I was trying to figure out what that is. Has anybody ever had gargled with vinegar? I don't know. It doesn't sound good. Smoke to the eyes. Yeah, I've had smoke in my eyes before. It's an irritating thing. But those who are lazy really are kind of a pain in the neck, I think, is what it's saying. So don't be that person. They are a drain on everybody in the organization, not just the boss, but the coworkers, because everybody else has to kind of pick up for them, pick up the slack for that person. So don't be that person. Don't be the one everyone else is pulling along. And you know how it works. The hard workers, what happens? They get more work, don't they? Because they are the hard workers. And the ones who don't, you know, the hard ones are basically pulling them along. Show up on time. Give the extra effort. Get things done on time. And if you can't get it done on time, communicate well where you're at on the project, whatever it is that you're working on. It seems to me like the more ability that we have to communicate, the more options we have, the worse we get at it. Answer text messages, emails, voicemails promptly. If somebody's asking you something, let them know what's going on. Communicate well. Ecclesiastes 9 Verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. There will be one day where your opportunities will be gone as far as the opportunity to do things. I don't know if we understand what a privilege it is for us to be able to do things, to work, to use our hands and feet, our minds. It is a privilege that the Lord has given us to be able to use those things. And each of you has been gifted with different abilities, different interests. And I just find it intriguing to hear about different people's jobs and what they do, the things that they are studying, the things that they're working on, creating with their hands. And I always thought it would be cool for a church if we all got an opportunity to just kind of rotate and kind of watch somebody in the church, go with them to work. You know, they have the kids go with people to work. We should have church people going with others to work. Just hanging out, watching what everybody else does. I think it would give us a real appreciation for the diversity of gifts and abilities we have among us and what God has called us to do. So it's a real privilege that we've been given. And I think as we talk about work, we have to also just keep things in balance. This year, I'm learning a lot about the need for Sabbath rest. And I'm definitely not advocating being a workaholic. I come from a family where work was a strong theme. And I kind of reacted a little bit against it because it just seemed a little bit too strong to me sometimes. When my friends were kind of had summer vacation, they were off at the lake or whatever, and I was out in the field hoeing beans and whatever. Just didn't quite seem fair to me. But I did learn how to work. And my parents did teach me how to work well. But I think it's very easy to kind of stray into being a workaholic. And so we're not advocating that at all. We need to understand that we are not defined by our work. It doesn't make us who we are. And we need a good balance between work and play and rest, family time, etc. But I would have to say, for those people who work heartily, and you know who those people are, they're some of the most enjoyable people to work with, aren't they? You think of people like that who just put everything into it. If you have a coworker like that or somebody who works for you that works like that, they are a lot of fun to work with. They make everyone around them better by their attitude and by their enthusiasm. And so, are you that kind of person in the workplace? Work for Jesus. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. I saw some of these t-shirts and hats, and I get what they're trying to say there. I'm not sure that I would buy one of these, though, and wear it to work. Because I'm not quite sure it would be appreciated by your boss in some ways, and feels a little bit like you're kind of thumbing your nose at them, like, hey, you know, I got my own boss, and I don't really report to you. So that's kind of how I read that. I wouldn't wear one to work, but it is trying to get across this point that we are working for the Lord, not just for our employer, that our actions really are for His honor and glory, for Jesus Christ. When I worked at Command Alcon, I was not just working for Command Alcon. I was working for Jesus. I wasn't just working with concrete and programs and electronics, but I was working on things that brought honor and glory to the Lord. The way that I approached those things, I was working for Him. You know, no matter how menial your work might seem, it has great significance because we are doing it for the Lord. All of the work that we do, we are doing it for Him, for His honor and glory. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And we've been talking about these different areas, how we function as a church together, how our marriages function, how our homes function, and here we talk about in the workplace. We're doing all of these for Jesus. And they should be the same in all places. It shouldn't be inconsistent. A different person at church that there is at home, a different person here than there is at work. There should be consistency, integrity in that person, in us, in each of the different places we find ourselves. If we're a great member in church, yet in some way we're not being a good employee, then something's broken. Something's broken in us. We're not being honest with who we really are. So we live for Jesus in all aspects. The rest of our life, all aspects of our lives are affected by how we live for Jesus. So let Christ rule in your entire life, in all of those places, not just in a segmented place of part of your life. Redeem your work and do it as unto the Lord. And my last point this morning is, I know that we've all been messed over probably in our work. We have all probably been unappreciated at times, that we have been treated unfairly, probably. We may have not gotten the promotion that we needed or that raise, or maybe we even got terminated in our employment unfairly. Maybe our review wasn't what it should have been. It wasn't fair to us. But I think in this passage, Jesus is telling us that he is going to take care of us. He says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You have an inheritance that Jesus will give to you for how you act in the workplace. You may not get that inheritance now. You may not get what you think you deserve now. But there is a day where Jesus will reward you for your diligence and how you present yourself in the workplace. He's taking care of it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, when necessary, go through proper channels to try and resolve unjust situations or unfair situations for us or maybe for others. But I think we really need to watch our attitudes. And I think the workplace is one of the places we need to watch our attitudes. There's a term that Jerry Bridges, he's an author, he coined called respectable sins. In fact, he wrote a book with that title. I don't know if you've ever read it. But he talks about these sins that we kind of look at as respectable. In other words, kind of everybody does them. Some of the other sins are maybe highlighted more, they get more attention, but these sins he feels like are respectable. And I think some of the ones listed in this passage that we've looked at sometimes fall in that category. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. These are what Paul's talking about. And I think sometimes we just think it's okay. It's okay to trash people. It's okay to trash our boss. You know, everybody's doing it, standing around the water cooler, and we're all talking about how bad our employer is. I think it's in that maybe what we would say respectable sin category. I know even this week the Lord has highlighted in my own life of this problem of sometimes a bad attitude towards what we've been asked to do and forgetting what a gift it is that God has given us. And I've needed to repent of my attitude. And I think we see it often in believers on social media going off about this person or this situation and how unjust this, whatever, how I was treated terribly. We hear it commonly even in conversations with believers, complaining, whining, ranting about other people and often our employer. They messed me over, I'm going to mess them over. This is not the attitude of a believer. So we can't just look the other way with this kind of an attitude, even in the workplace, and call it Christian behavior. It's nowhere close. And so when we find ourselves doing that in our situation, we need to repent of it. When we find others talking about that, we need to gently turn them away from that in some way, because this isn't who we are. We are a new creation. We are not that old man. We're a new creation. We need to put those new things on. And so I encourage us to put away that malicious talk, that anger, that slander. Put that stuff away. Turn the other cheek. And trust that God is taking care of you. He is standing up for you. Not only that, but he will reward you for doing good, even when maybe good is not being done to you. You are working for eternal heavenly reward, not an earthly one. And finally, a few words to the employer. If you are an employer, here the scripture tells us to treat your employees fairly, to give them a fair wage. Work them reasonable hours. Don't discriminate against them. Provide the best benefits that you can afford to do. Show appreciation for their work. And when they raise a concern, respond to it promptly. Don't lord it over them, because we're reminded here that we have our own master who is over us, and that is Christ himself. So don't lord it over them. The Lord has entrusted these people in your care to provide for them and their families. So do it to the best of your ability. I think the workplace is maybe the best natural opportunity that we have to share the gospel. I really believe that. Maybe the best natural opportunity. When you rub shoulders with other people, you can be a missionary right in there, right there. And I wonder, if we look at how we interact, how we do our job, Are we being that missionary in that place? Are we representing Christ? As in the way that we work, the way we respond to our boss, the way we interact with our coworkers. And so, think about that as you go to work this week. And I just challenge you to represent Christ well in that workplace and show the gospel to them by the way that you work. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world as you hold firmly to the word of life." And I want to close this morning with a quote from a book by Douglas Sherman and William Hendricks called "Your Work Matters to God." And I think there's a lot of truth in this quote. They say, "The key to bringing the culture and the church back together, to renewing the workplace and reforming the church, may well be in a movement of people who are known for their hard work, for their excellence of effort, for their honesty and unswerving integrity, for their concern for the rights and welfare of people, for the quality of the goods and services produced, for their leadership among co-workers. In short, for their Christ-likeness on and off the job. What could an army of such workers accomplish?" I think it's a good question for us. Think of how the gospel could be represented in that place where we interact with so many people. So I just challenge us to think about that and take that into our workplace this week. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the jobs that you've given to us. And Lord, maybe some of us here are struggling with our work and even wondering maybe whether we should change or do something different. God, I pray that you would guide us in that. I pray that if we stay, that we could have a good attitude. And we know that it's your Spirit working in us, that we could have a good attitude as we approach our work, that we would work diligently, that we would show the gospel to be true, that we are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if it's time for us to move to something else, I pray that you would lead us to that place that you have for us. But wherever it is that we find ourselves in work, Lord, may we bring honor and glory to you. And may our witness be strong in the workplace so that people could be drawn to you and come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.